Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really, really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Kaylin McFerrin. She is an author, and that is her author's name, but she's also known as Linda Yusheta. And she is actually a relatively new author in the Northwest with her hands into everything. And wait till you hear this. She and her husband created Yusheta Sauces, which many of you, I'm sure, have seen in grocery stores, formed 18 corporations, founded a very busy nonprofit, serve on numerous boards, travel extensively, and they have homes in Southeast Portland, Oregon, and San Diego, California. In between all this, Kaylin has actually managed to write two novels, one, Flattery's Crossing. This is a women's inspirational fiction novel, and her latest, the one we're talking about today, is an action-filled romantic suspense story titled Severed Threads. Stay tuned because we're going to go into the personal life of Linda and how she and her husband actually turned an idea into a successful venture. As well, we're going to be talking about overcoming cultural differences and just a bunch of interesting topics. Hi, Kaylin.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, and this is so exciting to be talking to you because you're quite a prolific writer. As I had mentioned in the introduction, that you had written actually an award-winning Flattery's Crossing, and now Severed Threads, which our reviewer just loved it, and I noticed that you've had, you know, some really good comments on it. So before we go any further with this interview, Kaylin, how about just describing in a short version of what the book is about, sort of to get our listening audience interested?
Well, the story basically is about a young woman named Rachel Lyons, and she is a former marine biologist who gave up her position as a result of her father's sudden death. She's taken a job at a foundation office and is called upon a museum director to assist her former love interest with recovery of a cursed relic from a sunken Chinese merchant ship. And she has no intention of cooperating and going along with this until her brother is kidnapped by a drug-dealing gangster. And in order to save him and gain control of her own life, she's got to overcome a lot of her fears, and she has to go back and relive the circumstances that led to her father's death. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah. But it sounds like a page-turner, too, to me. And you had mentioned this is a cultural type of a book, too.
Yes.
Different. And so let's just talk about overcoming cultural differences, and I know that you yourself are in a multicultural home.
Yes. My husband is Japanese, and I was raised by two Irish people, which made it very interesting growing up. But in raising family, you know, being able to encourage the interest of both cultures and kind of teach them about both of our backgrounds was really a challenge. And being able to overcome our differences just because of our backgrounds, I was raised Irish Catholic, and my husband was raised from his Japanese Buddhist background in Japan. And so it was, you know, just bringing two diverse cultures together was a challenge. It continues to be a challenge. We've been married for 38 years now, and so it's something that you always deal with, but it makes life interesting.
Even after 38 years, and would you mind sharing with our listening audience what some of these challenges are?
Well, I think because my husband is a very active businessman. He travels to Japan extensively. He's there at least once a month. And so he brings a lot of elements into our lives here because he is kind of a dynamic individual. He's developed a sauce product that a lot of people know that go in the grocery stores. And as a result of this, he gets a lot of coverage from newspapers and magazines. In Japan, he's kind of an icon.
Uh-huh.
And so lots of times we have television crews that live with us, and they do live television programs. So it's constantly kind of being reminded that that's part of who he is. He's also an eighth degree black belt in karate. So he brings that aspect into, our life
uh-huh,
as well.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a constant, exposure to different elements in his interests that kind of dictates what happens. But I find it fascinating. I love the Asian culture, and I love being exposed to it. And I've been fortunate in being able to travel extensively, and I used to import a lot of Asian, you know, furniture and such. So that's, I kind of think it led into this story because of the fact that I've gone to China a lot and know a lot about, you know, Asian antiques. And so that's kind of the crest of it.
And that's, yeah, I kind of wondered if how much of your own experience went into the story.
Quite a bit.
Sure.
You know, I'm it's so funny because I've always wanted to be a scuba diver. Love the idea of it. My whole family is certified. They all scuba dive. And I went to Costa Rica thinking I could do this. You know, I really wanted to have the experience. And I got down under the water, and I had basically a panic attack. And I found out I couldn't scuba dive. And so it made me all the more determined to try to write something about it. So, you know, so a lot of my experiences in the book is actually through other people's experiences that I had to do a lot of research to really make it sound believable that I knew what I was talking about.
Kaylin, do you have children?
I do. I have 3 grown daughters and 2 grandsons. My oldest daughter's a writer as well.
So tell me about the cultural aspects, being that they grew up in a mixed culture home that was, you know, maybe a little bit unusual for the area that you lived in. And how was that for them when they were growing up?
You know, it was very, I think it was very different than I imagined. You know, I have blinders. I don't see cultural differences for myself. But putting him into a school situation where there's basically 2, you know, Asian children in the whole school.
Right.
You know, it's, and they have to kind of find their identity because it's my oldest daughter. She looks, we call her Hapa Haole, which means she looks Hawaiian. My younger children look more Asian, so people automatically assume that they might be Asian. And so they, you know, had to be able to fit into, you know, the societies. You know, how they measured up and what their expectations were for them, because being Asian, everybody automatically assumes that you have, you know, you must be really, really talented, you know.
Right.
You know, in certain aspects. So so it became a challenge for them to kind of figure out where they fit in. But also I was fascinated to find out who they would be drawn to romantically. If they would find themselves, you know, drawn to more, you know, of the Caucasian race or whatever you want to say. But it was interesting because that's exactly what they've all done. They all have Irish boyfriends, which so, you know,
funny.
We rule.
Well, you know, I think that also your children are, you know, they're grown, but I'm thinking now it might be a different situation because so many babies are being adopted from, you know, the Asian countries. And so there's a lot of multicultural that goes in the homes now.
Definitely.
I'm wondering if it's different than what it was when your family was growing up.
Oh, yeah, very much so. When my husband and I got married, it was really taboo. My husband came from a very noble family in Japan, and all of his, he's the youngest of 7 children, and they all had arranged marriages. And so with families that are, you know, pretty much the same background status and so forth. And I was, you know, I'm the outsider and part of the reason my husband chose to stay in the United States. And so for about 10 years, I wasn't accepted in his family. And but his mother would come over every year and, you know, and put in an appearance and kind of make my life a little bit miserable. And after 10 years, she finally told me that she fully accepted me and saw that, you know, this is where her husband, her son's life was going to be. And the same thing went for my family because my parents all had their own concept of who I would marry and be with. And so it took, you know, about 5 years for my father and mother to fully accept my husband. And so at that time, you know, it was very difficult. You know, and, you know, and as far as my children, you know, I would go to the grocery store with them in a shopping cart, and people would come up and tell me how great it was they thought that I adopted these children, you know.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, it definitely, you know, creates, you know, problems, you know, that you don't anticipate. But, you know, love is blind. You know, you do what you have to do to survive, and that's kind of where it's been.
Exactly, and that's so well said. I'm going to talk about Yoshida. Sauces.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Now, is this something that is strictly your husband's recipe, or is this something the two of you worked on together?
Yeah, this is. We actually did this together, years ago, with my husband being in karate, we had like a huge group of students every year that would give us Christmas presents, and you know, this could be jams and jellies and all kinds of things, and we got to a point where, you know, 300 students, we couldn't give gifts back, and so, you know, we decided to put our heads together and come up with something, and his family has restaurants in Japan, and his mother had made a famous sauce called, you know, she called it the black sauce, which in Japan, and so we actually took the recipe, and between the two of us, we tweaked it and created this, you know, Yoshida gourmet sauce that we bottled and we gave away for gifts, and then his students kept coming back asking for more. So we thought, you know, we'll try a hand at it and see if we could actually market this product. And 28 years ago, it's gone international, so it's pretty fun.
And it's still continuing.
It's still continuing.
Wow. But this isn't the only family-owned company. You have bunches of others, like 18?
Yeah. What kind of happened is it kind of mushrooms. So, you know, when you have a product like this, you have to ship it. And so we ended up opening up an air freight shipping company. And we, you know, we were exclusive to Nike. And so we were shipping, you know, all kinds of products, you know, perishables and everything else. And then we had people, you know, needing help with printing needs. So we opened printing companies. And we had Japanese business people come over and wanting to know where, you know, they couldn't find great golf courses to play on. So we built golf courses. I mean, it's crazy how it evolved. But, you know, I mean, we went into everything from wineries to, you know, sublimation printing companies, anything you can imagine we got our hands into. And it's just been a fun thing because it's not about having the knowledge to run those businesses. My husband actually hires people who have that knowledge.
Right.
You know, and it's just having the creativity and the imagination to bring all that together, I think.
Well, it's all fulfilling a need, and I think that that's such an important thing. I just know of so many people that create businesses, but they didn't look at the fact if that need needs to be filled. And, you know, that goes the same as books, writing books. Mm-hmm. Is it filling some type of a need?
Exactly.
You know, it's the same kind of a thing.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Linda Yoshida, also known as Kayla McFerrin, the author of Severed Threads. Linda is one interesting person, isn't she? Stay tuned because we're going to be talking more about her own personal interesting life, and I know that you'll find it interesting as well. And how involved are you in these companies?
Well, I originally, you know, was very active. For when you have a family-owned business, you kind of get sucked into it.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and so for 8 years, you know, I was behind the scenes, you know, doing all of the invoicing and helping with the product development and such, and didn't take a paycheck for 8 years. But, you know, and then, but even though I'm kind of out of that now, occasionally I get kind of pulled in for different things, you know, because we have a restaurant, and so I get pulled into, you know, maybe wine choices or helping with the menu selections and things like that. But you just always find yourself somehow tied together to it, and I still get excited. If I go to the grocery store and I see somebody going by with a shopping cart with our sauce, and I still get excited about it. So silly, but, you know.
Do you actually disclose that you own that company?
Not
no.
Even. I used to run up and go, oh,
did you?
You know, but it's like, no, don't do that anyway.
Well, I imagine when you used to do that, that was a high for you, and that was important for you to do that. And
exactly.
And, you know, it's important for the consumer, too, because I know that if I'm pushing a cart and if somebody that made a particular sauce stops and says, wow, you know, this is my recipe, I'm, like, elated.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, I might even not use that sauce because I just met you.
I know. I have to be careful because it's so funny because they have this imagination that they think it's, you know, coming from this, you know, entity. And I don't want them to think, oh, that's just mom and dad, you know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And so you're very involved in your community also, and you started up a foundation. So I want to talk about that.
Sure. You know, it's all kind of tied. It's funny because it all ties together with my writing.
See, there you go.
Yeah, it does. My father passed away from cancer about 21 years ago. And we had, with him being Irish, we had this very strange relationship. You know, I loved him dearly, but he was kind of a tough guy. And we became very close when he was passing away. And as a result of that, I had all these feelings, you know, that I knew, unresolved issues. So I wrote Clarity's Crossing for that reason. But also over the last, you know, few years, I've lost a lot of dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband's secretary, my husband's best friend. We've lost last 2 years, in fact. And so I just felt like I wanted to make a difference. And so my husband helped me. We formed this nonprofit. It's called the Soulful Giving Foundation. And every year my group gets together and makes a decision on what organization we're going to support. And so last year we started a big event that we do at our home, and we bring in bands and, you know, 16 restaurants and wine and food, all kinds of things, arts and everything else. And we charge $50 admission. People come in, and we decide, you know, that this money is going to go to this cause.
Uh-huh.
So last year we donated $50,000 to Providence Medical Center, and this year we're going to do Randall Children's Hospital, which is their cancer wing. And so I'm excited about that because it feels like, gosh, you know, you're making a difference for being here, you know, and you're getting everybody motivated. And this disease, unfortunately, touches everybody, everybody's life.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yeah, I was in April diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And so it does. It touched not only me, but many, many people that I'm associated with. But I'm pleased to also tell you that 3 months later, I am free of it.
I'm so excited. I heard that news.
Yes.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the thing that's happening now.
Yes.
Is, you know, years ago, there, you know, you didn't have these choices and the advancement in, you know, medicine that's happening now.
Exactly.
So it's exciting to see that, you know, choices are being made and alternative medicines are happening. And I'm excited for you, you know, because this just shows that the potential is huge for people that have to battle this every day.
It is huge, but it's also important to have the research behind it, too. And, you know, with a foundation like yours, and now you said this year you're giving to the children's wing?
The Randall Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize how many young children are born into this illness, you know, and so it's very large. And so, but a few years ago, 60% of the children that were diagnosed, you know, would not survive, and now we're at 30%. So it's exciting to see the research that's happening and things that are happening, you know, for these children. So I'm happy to be part of that if I can be.
Well, you certainly are. And as you say, last year, you know, $50,000, that's a lot. And I'm hoping that you're going to at least make that again this year, if not more.
We already have $100,000 in commitment.
Oh, you do? So, well,
and our event hasn't even happened yet.
Well.
So we're very excited, yeah.
And this is an invitational event, I'm assuming.
It is. Yeah, we're actually doing it in, it's July 28th, so it's coming up about a little over a week. And so it's all of our preparation right now is going on, so it's kind of a crazy time.
Wow, but you love it.
I love it.
Yes.
I love being busy. And so this is, you know, and I love just bringing so many people together in a community. It's wonderful.
Well, I just kind of, you know, you say you love being busy, and as I read about what you do, and as we talked about what you do, and you're writing, and you're doing this and that, and it's like, do you have a life? Or is that your life?
Funny, it's about, you know, time management. So funny because, you know, I am extremely busy, but it's But it's like you dedicate so many days to each thing that you do. And when I write, I figure that I've got like, you know, 4 to 5 hours a day I can sit down and really, really seriously write. And you know, the rest of the day, you know, I'm working on other projects, helping, you know, in the evenings, you know, I'm working on things that have to do with the business. And so
sure.
you just manage your time, and it's just amazing. You know, I don't think people realize, you know, that you can do so much in a day. You know, until you sit down and think about it.
Well, that's true. And I think a lot has to do with being organized and dedicated and, you know, a commitment. Otherwise, we could waste a whole day and it's like, what happened? It's like dinner time and I can make dinner and where was I?
Where'd the day go?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're very much into paying it forward in your community, too.
Oh.
And so your involvement is there.
Yeah, I actually serve on 5 boards.
Wow.
In addition to everything else. And so, but anything to do with children or education, I'm very much behind. And so, and I'm also like on Red Cross, but I've been on symphony boards and all kinds of things. But it's, but any opportunity that I have that I feel that I can, you know, step up and contribute something,
yeah.
you know, I'm all gung-ho for doing that. But I got to a point where I was, you know, I actually reached it 8 boards, and I went, I can't do this anymore. I have to step back, you know,
yeah.
because it's my problem is learning how to say no. You know, I have to be better about that. And so, but I just wish there was more of me to spread around.
Well, and, you know, there is a point where you do have to say no because it's draining. And then, as I said before, you know, do you have a life? It ends up that you don't have a life. So
it's true.
Yeah,
it's
very true. Much so. Well, gosh, this has been so fun. And
thank you.
Severed Threads, what a great book.
Thank you so much.
And let's see, I guess I'll call you Kaylin because we're going to be talking about the book. Your website address.
Yeah. My website address is www.Kaylin, and it's K-A-Y-L-I-N, McFarren. It's McFarren.com.
And there you go, listeners. You can find out more about her. Again, it's Kaylin, K-A-Y-L-I-N, McFarren, M-C-F as in Frank, A-R-R-E-N.com. And we also know her as Linda Yesheda. And, hey, next time you're in a grocery store, take a look for those sauces. I'm sure going to. And I'm sure that they're sold in most local grocery stores. If not, you can, I'm sure, order it. So, gosh, Kaylin, thank you so much.
Thank you. I so appreciate it.
And this has been fun. And listeners, I hope that you enjoyed this interview with Kaylin, also known as Linda. I guess that's her real name. I should say Linda, also known as Kaylin, as the author. And just I hope that this gives you an inspiration not only to go out in your own community and volunteer, but also read Severed Threads. And I hope that you will enjoy doing both. Thank you so much for listening. This is Irene Watson for Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.